Du lytter til Radio 24/7, den originale taleradio.
Velkommen til Aflyttet med Anders Kjærulf.
Velkommen til et program, der er iført skæg og blå briller. I hvert fald indeni, men måske er det ikke helt sådan den her gang. Faktisk har jeg prøvet på at tage både skægget og de blå briller af og se lidt på fremtiden. Og måske nogle af de positive sider, der kan være i den, selvom de der skæg og blå briller nok også dukker op en gang imellem alligevel. Jeg befinder mig i Østrig, i byen Linz. Det er en mellemstor østrigsk by, som igennem mange år har afholdt en festival, der hedder Ars Electronica. Ars Electronica er en festival, der er meget koncentreret omkring fremtiden og hvad den på mange måder bringer. Den plejer også at være et meget interessant pejlemærke på, hvad der ligesom kommer til at ske, for eksempel også i Danmark på et eller andet tidspunkt, fordi den har det allernyeste teknologi med, tit sammensat af nogle ret spøjse mennesker. Noget af det, som jeg godt kan fortælle, at vi kommer til at høre mere om her i programmet, det bliver den nye bil fra Mercedes, som både er selvkørende, men som også kan styres. Lidt om, hvad den ellers kan gøre, for det er sådan en, der kan finde rundt i områder. Den kan også finde ud af, hvis der går noget ud foran den, så kan den regne ud, at nu skal den stoppe. Så laver den sådan en lille fodgængerovergang af lys foran sig, hvor man kan gå ud. Og så kan man så ligesom gå over, og så konstaterer den, at man er væk. Man kan også svinge den frem. Den har simpelthen så mange sensorer, som man tror, det er løgn. Det kommer vi alle sammen tilbage til. Festivalen og det rum, jeg befinder mig i lige nu her, den store hal, må jeg nærmere sige, det hedder Post City. Og det er faktisk lidt en joke, som også virker på dansk, det her med post. Fordi det her, det er simpelthen den gamle postcentral i Linz, som nu tydeligvis er nedlagt. Som man så har indtaget her, inklusive sådan nogle store køreramper, hvor folk så kommer gående op ad nu. Og vi står så inde i det her rum, hvor alle de her postbiler og den her fordeling af post har fundet sted i gamle dage. Det gør det jo ikke mere. Folk sender færre og færre breve, og vi bevæger os ind i en ny tid, hvor kommunikationen foregår på rigtig mange andre måder. Det er lidt om, hvad der kommer inden for den næste time. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf. Velkommen til.
Just a minute. I think Mr. Newby's here.
I think I'm ready.
You ready to go surfing?
Surfing? No, I thought you were going to teach me how to get on the internet. Oh. Oh, surfing on the internet.
Yeah, but we're going to work that World Wide Web thing.
World Wide Web, absolutely. I guarantee by the end of today, you'll be taking your wife and kids surfing on the net like you were a pro.
Yes!
A computer with a mouse, a modem.
Wow, this is a powerful computer.
And you should also have at least 4 megabytes of system RAM.
Hello, Margaret.
If I were there, Margaret, I'd throw my hat in the door before I came in.
Jeg står i et rum sammen med en skulptur, der hedder PII. Den er lavet af en spansk kunstner, der hedder Néstor Lizalde. Den er lavet sådan, så den interagerer med, når vi bevæger os rundt herinde i rummet, så er der en masse sensorer, der reagerer på, hvor jeg går ind og prøver at nærme mig kræde. Flytte hånden rundt hen over nogle store firkanter. Hvad kan man gøre det? Der er sådan en række firkanter, der er inde i væggen, har sådan nogle lange lyskasser. Og hvis man går hen for en af dem, så kan man ændre lyd. Det er mig, der laver det her.
Could you start by describing what's here? What's inside?
Yeah, I'm Masha Yazbet. I'm from presenting Tsukuba University from Japan, and we are showing some works here. For example, this one. This one is called ID Mirror, and it's about our identity when we enter the virtual world. Like we leave traces there, like part of ourself, our identity is there. And this is what this work is showing. When you approach the device and when you watch yourself in the mirror, your image is taken and it goes to the virtual world where it's mixed with the other faces. The faces represent identity, you know, like in the internet, you know, all our identities are mixed. It's like a big pot of our identities.
ID Mirror er lavet af slovenske Vesla Jaksbæk og hollandske Floria Erik, og den består af fire spejle på et bord og en stor skærm. Når man tager spejlet op og ser sig selv i det, så tager det et billede af en og uploader det til internettet. Bagefter kan man se det på skærmen. Og folkene bag, de vil ikke fortælle, hvad det her billede bliver brugt til i fremtiden, kun at det er hemmeligt, og at man samtidig afleverer sine biometriske oplysninger. Biometriske oplysninger kan bruges til alt muligt, inklusive genkendelse via overvågningskamera. Alligevel så står familier med børn i kø for at få lov til at prøve, og det bekymrer folkene bag ID Mirror.
Yes. It's also biometrics. Yes,
also that, yeah, also biometrics. Yeah.
So actually, I've just used my own face. I've just uploaded all my biometric information to your server. I hope you got control over it.
Now we have all the control, and we are quite surprised because not many people were asking what we are doing. You know, they're like really happy to give their identities to us, and also, I mean, parents with kids. You know, they're do it. So.
So you find that worrying?
Yes, quite surprised, that they are so easily going to give their privacy and their own data to us, and without knowing what are we going to do with it.
because this festival is very, let's say, it's very technologically positive and looking forward. But there also is kind of this reverse thing about all of these technologies, like especially this could be used for other stuff.
Yeah, we are trying to put also some a bit of the criticism, a bit of awareness, so that people will question themselves, wow, what we are doing, is this right, is this wrong? You know, just like we like to expose these questions to the people, not giving the answers, but questions to ask themselves, to actually be aware, you know, every time that they are entered the virtual world, they are leaving part of their ID there, their biometrics there, and it's available to everyone to do with it whatever they want.
Is that in the normal there, there's 400 people who has been leaving their faces,
Yes, exactly, in 2 days.
What's going to happen to all these faces afterwards?
Yeah, we're going to continue to research and to work with this data, and we want to keep secret what we are going to do. But you can follow us. We will also, for the next exhibition at Tsukuba, we will use this data and do something with it.
So imagine you're driving in Linz somewhere, but on a disk space you actually see a very different landscape, maybe something where you like to go on your vacation, some beach, some different environment where usually you don't access with a car. And this is something you can drive through virtually, and all the kinetic energy you feel on your car, because the car is moving uphill, downhill, left, right, you can actually have an one-to-one visual information on the display as well. So everything you do with the car moving left, right, you would see on the displays as well, virtually. In a completely different environment, which would help us to relax, to enjoy, to experience something different.
Mercedes F015 ligner det, den er. Noget fra fremtiden, spejlblank, fyldt med blå lys og med skærme overalt indenfor, hvor jeg og Mercedes leder af interaktiv designafdeling Vera Schmidt har sat os til rette i de runde, drejelige sæder. Den har 200 hestekræfter og strøm nok til at kunne køre 1000 km mellem hver opladning. Den kan selv parkere, den ved hvem du er, og så skal den være venlig, så vi kan vende os til den, når den kører os rundt og kører rundt helt alene for at finde en parkeringsplads.
This may sound like a stupid question, but how does this actually differ from a train? For example, say I've got into a train and I get somewhere and I have a computer with me, so I can also check out environments in other places, but this is different.
Mm-hmm. It's different because, first of all, it's a private space, so it's really a lounge where you can do whatever you want, so without anybody else who might want to do something different. But also with the 360-degree travel, it's different because it's almost a 360-degree, so wherever you look, you would see a virtual environment. And then imagine your car is actually driving through a reality, and you feel the kinetic energy on yourself. And whatever you see in a display then matches what you feel on your body. And this is something you can't duplicate with a device in your hand. And sitting in the train. So it is very different when the car actually moves through the reality. And virtually you see a very different environment which matches from what you feel on your body.
Mercedes har en vision. Byen anno 2030. I den by er der alt for lidt plads. Derfor skal bilerne køre selv. Og det indvendige i bilerne bliver en slags lounge, et rum uden for tid og sted, hvor man arbejder og slapper af, mens trafikken snegler sig afsted udenfor. Bilen kender dig. Bilen kender dig rigtig godt. Den ved, hvor du plejer at tage hen. Den kender din favoritcafé. Den ved, hvor du arbejder. Den ved, hvor du er. Og den ved, hvor du vil hen. Og den parkerer selv, når du er stået ud.
How well will this car get to know me?
The car is supposed to know your preferences and know your settings, whatever you prefer. And in the future, we will have predictive functions on the car where the car already knows where you want to go because of your pattern of your behavior. So the car knows you pretty well, but it always depends on you what you would like to share and the system to know.
But we will have maybe a predictive pattern, so it kind of knows that I usually then this Monday morning and I want to go to work, so it will just pick me up and put me to work. We don't need to interact.
For example, yes. So you don't need to type in any address or any setting. The car knows already you are coming. It recognizes you when you approach the car, for example, through a device or for something else. And then it can already prepare the environment you usually like to drive in and then also the destination you usually take on this time of the day.
Men et spørgsmål trænger sig på. Hvis jeg nu er fuld, kan bilen så køre mig hjem? Det er kompliceret, siger vi er smidt fra Mercedes, men de arbejder på sagen.
And one last very interesting, I think it probably interests a lot of people. If I go out to town one night in my car, I get a little bit too much to drink and I can get inside this car, will it be able to take me home?
Of course it would. Yeah, I mean, you can sleep in the car. So, of course, all the legal requirements need to be checked, but this is would be ideal also for elderly people who are not so secure to drive anymore. They can sit in and be driven to home, so it would be awesome because they would be more mobile than they are actually right now.
Det vi hører her, det er åbningskoncerten til Ars Electronica i Linz. Mens den her musik fra forskellige horn, inklusive nogle ambulancer, spiller, så bliver der vist nogle billeder på forskellige bygninger. Jeg har set nogle marker og nogle sultne børn. Jeg tror, temaet på det her handler om at kunne brødføde verden og være i stand til at kunne være her alle sammen.
I et hjørne af den store gamle posthal i Linz har Salvatore Jaconcisi og Oriano Pacesco stillet 6 store gammeldags arkadespillemaskiner op. Maskinerne har fået computerskærme og viser data fra de sociale medier og fra elselskabet, fra de smarte hjem, hvor man kan se, om lyset er tændt eller slukket og hvad varmen står på. Alt sammen arrangeret i små fikse datagrupper som Big Data. Projektet hedder Myriads og er en måde at vise alle disse data om alle menneskene i Linz på. Men Salvatore mener ikke, at det er big data. Det er bare mennesker, der samarbejder og deler.
So I guess you could say that what we are more interested in is to explore the ways in which the life of cities and of its citizens evolve over time. Obviously, citizens, whether they realize it or not, continuously generate enormous amounts of information when they do something with their smartphone, when they do something on social networks, when they turn their lights on. We constantly all generate enormous amounts of information. And this information is not really accessible to us, even if we are the one who generate it. So this project is also a way in which all this information about the city and the life of its citizens is made accessible to citizens themselves, in order for them to understand more things about their cities, more things about the cultures in the cities, more things about the emotions in the cities, and the ways in which they are expressed in time and space. And also, since through these modalities they gain access to all of this information, they can also learn how to use this information to organize themselves, or maybe to even simply to know more about their cities and the other citizens. And that's why included in this project there are also 15 workshops in which we teach people how to use this information.
Could you describe what we're looking at here? What is actually going on?
Absolutely. So we are looking at multiple forms in which all this information can be represented and understood. So the information is being captured here in Ars Electronica, is being captured from the city of Linz in real time, more or less, because of course it needs lots of processing power, so there's a slight delay, but more or less in real time. And we're looking at a few visualizations of this data. For example, one visualization represents the relations among people. So, for example, if you publicly get in touch with someone on Facebook or on Twitter, this would show up under the form of a relation of two connected dots, me and you and our connection, for example. Or on the other side, in another visualization, we see an emotional map of the city, which shows where certain emotions are being expressed over time in the city. And another set of visualizations shows what topics are being discussed in the cities and what is the relationships. So if you discuss a topic, maybe if you are discussing at the same time another topic which may be related with each other. So it's this kind of analysis of the cities visualized using infoaesthetics.
Det er infostatistik, siger Salvatore, der også har lavet et system, så man kan se, hvordan borgerne i Linz går rundt og har det sådan lige nu og her. Han scanner nemlig updates på Twitter og Facebook efter positive og negative ord, og kan ud fra dem lave lister over, om de fleste er glade og optimistiske, eller om de er bange. Og mens vi står her og kigger på skærmene, ja, så er der i øvrigt forbavsende mange, der skriver om flygtninge og om terror. Men er sådan et system i virkeligheden ikke bare det, som alle efterretningstjenesterne drømmer om, spørger jeg.
So there is one major difference. The major difference is that usually citizens don't know about this data and cannot know about this data. They don't have the availability of this data and they don't know that it is being captured. Here we show them this data. Also, they have full access to this data, so they actually can see what is being captured and what is not being captured about them. And also, we teach them, on one side, how they can protect themselves from having this data captured, and on the other side, how they can use this data that is being captured to make better cities, better life for citizens, to organize themselves among citizens, and to do other positive things. So there is an enormous difference, luckily.
but it's very parallel to some of the things, some of the tools that intelligence agency are actually already running, especially over social networks.
Absolutely. So, obviously, Facebook or the NSA or whatever has a much more powerful tool than us. No, for example, some many people don't realize, for example, let's take Facebook. Many people don't realize that when they are configuring their privacy on Facebook, they are configuring it towards other citizens, but not towards Facebook, because Facebook can read everything, no? And so these services or these national agencies have tools and possibilities which are much more powerful than ours. The difference still remains. The most important difference is that currently for citizens it is impossible to know what data is being captured, to see it, and to learn how to protect ourselves, and also on the other side to use it. Through this project we use art and aesthetics and education to get people in contact with these issues and to possibly create better scenarios.
Det handler om at vise borgerne, hvor meget data de egentlig afleverer, siger Salvatore, der også afholder workshops, hvor han lærer folk, hvordan de undgår at dele data og passe på sig selv, og hvordan de eventuelt kunne bruge de her data til at samarbejde, i stedet for at lade sig overvåge passivt. Men hvordan har Salvatore det med Edward Snowden?
It changed a lot of things, mostly to the people who didn't know that this was going on, which is an enormous amount of people, so it's a very, very, very important and relevant and positive thing to do, this disclosure, because all the people who deal in this thing actually know already that this all this is going on. And so things have changed a lot. And also they changed a lot. So they changed a lot in very meaningful way. But also in we might wonder if they have changed in critical ways, because in some way this notion has also been spectacularized, no? And this is something to think about, no? Because when things becomes a spectacle, you just take it for granted. Okay, the NSA is capturing all of this data. Okay, so we have a joke about this because we tend to not really believe in superheroes. So we tend on believing in the activation of citizens more than in the activation of Snowden. Okay, so we really believe more that more things can change if people get actively engaged in learning more, in doing more with this data, or to protect themselves from this data being captured, than from some superhero who does these disclosures or these things.
So it's a matter about being open and conscious about what is going on.
Open and conscious and active. Because we talk about it in terms of public performance, and also we talk about it in terms of the fact that people don't perceive that there is this thing that's going on, and and that they can also use this thing to do incredibly useful things. No, for example, from our point of view, one enormous danger of this whole situation is freezing, no? It's freezing, it's stopping, it's completely being stopped by fear and anxiety, because this data can also be actually useful, no? The only thing missing is that it is not available to us. We don't know anything about what is being collected. We don't know anything about how we can protect ourselves. And we don't know. We also don't know how to use it.
Jeg tror ikke på helte, som Edward Snowden, siger Salvatore. Det er vigtigere at lære borgerne at passe på sig selv. Det handler om at være åben og bevidst om, hvad der foregår. Vi risikerer, at vi bliver så bange, at vi ikke anvender alle de her data til noget fornuftigt. Det værste, der kan ske, det er, at det hele bliver skjult for os, så vi ikke længere ved, hvad der faktisk foregår. Vi skal være mere åbne, vi skal dele mere, så skal det hele nok gå, siger altså Salvatore. Og ude i byen er der altså ca. 20.000 mennesker, som Salvatore følger godt med i, om ikke, som han siger, på det dybe niveau. Han er jo trods alt ikke en efterretningstjeneste.
There was a beautiful sentence which I love by architect Rem Koolhaas, which made an intervention last year at the European Commission, and he was wondering what is the role of conflict and transgression in the smart city. Because in the current discussion of all these technological issues, it seems that conflict should disappear. Instead, conflict is part of life, no? So the solution is never making conflict disappear, is to learn how to live with each other regardless of our conflicts, no? Accepting them and into a cohesive. So that's what I would hope for the future.
And government would say, it's not to learn, it's how to control conflict.
That's yet another point of view, which I'm not sure it's something I subscribe to, because I'm not for control. I'm for enabling people to being able to deal peacefully with each other, because conflict does not mean violence. Okay, conflict is just different opinions, different point of views. But if people become more educated and have this cultural shift that in which they can learn how to discuss peacefully conflict, we can aim at coexistence, not in control. I think it's a much better option.
Aflyttet er til Elektronika Festival i Linz, Østrig. Det er en teknologi- og kunstfestival, som har fundet sted igennem efterhånden rigtig mange år i min år. Jeg har været med nogle gange. Der indslås i år nogle meget mere alvorlige temaer, end det plejer. Eller måske er det bare, fordi tingene måske føles lidt tættere på. Vi er midt i en åbningsceremoni her, og store dele af byen er mødt op for at få det sjovt. Det er en torsdag aften. Der bliver så afspillet det her ret tunge, monotone musik med ambulancelyd og til en række billeder og videoer, som viser krigszoner tydeligvis beskæftiger sig meget med hungersnød, med flygtninge og med overfyldte byer, som jo også er et temaerne her. Det handler om post cities, altså byer efter, de byer, der kommer efter byerne. Der kommer vi her løbet af programmet til at høre nogle bud på, hvordan det kommer til at blive, og hvad man kunne forestille sig, hvordan man kunne forestille sig, at det kunne komme til at udvikle sig, også ud fra et teknologisk, kunstnerisk synspunkt.
Yes, this is an application called the TweetShot. If you meet the strange guy like this, just use this tool. And you can get his recent tweet, right? Yep, this is another tweet. And you can know about him before you actually talking to him. Okay? This is a tool to expedite the communication between the strangers, like us.
So the idea is, he looks a bit like Spider-Man, except from a t-shirt on top. And then he wears himself inside out. In many ways, he's got all his data is kind of flowing out of him while he walks around.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can. First, you need to register those information, and this is AR marker code, and the other one is like a Twitter ID, and his name and birthday and birthplace and any other comment, and anything he wants to be open to public. And after that, the other person used this tool and just scan. That's it.
Holdet fra Osaka Universitetet har opfundet en såkaldt T-shirt. Og egentlig er det bare en T-shirt med en indbygget RFID-chip i. Chippen, den er pakket med personlige data fra den, der går med t-shirten. Hvad er din Twitter-profil? Hvor bor du? Og hvilke interesser har du? Og når man kommer forbi en person i en t-shirt, ja, så kan man aflæse ham. Man kan aflæse ham elektronisk, før man taler sammen. Det er vigtigt, mener forskerne bag. Byerne, bliver større og større og mere pakket med mennesker, og vi bliver mere og mere ensomme. På den her måde, der kan vi indlede en samtale, men måske begynder vi med at lyve.
No. So it's actually just a code on the T-shirt, actually?
Recently, right now, we use the T-shirt, but it doesn't need to be T-shirts. The other clothes or bags or badges or anything you want. Yeah.
I can see a future where you can people will start telling each other lies with these scans.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't know which is better, but if we could have a real communication, that's the best thing. But people like me, I'm from Japan. It's very difficult to talk to the person in another country because of the language barrier. Maybe we can use this tool and we could know about him or her before actually talking to him or her.
T-shirten behøver faktisk ikke engang være en t-shirt. Det kunne lige så godt ligge i et badge eller i en taske. Men hvad med vores privatliv? Skal vi virkelig til at bære os selv udenpå? I Japan er vi alt for lukket, siger forskeren. Vi er nødt til at stole på hinanden. T-shirten, det er en protest mod det der privacy. Vi skal ikke være så private. Vi skal være åbne.
We used to have at least some of Europe. We used to be very careful about privacy. We said we need to protect ourselves and things like that. Are we going to wear ourselves inside out in the future?
Inside out. What do you mean the inside out?
I mean that what we usually keep to ourselves will kind of just you can scan it afterwards and said, and all our information will be available.
Okay. Yeah. Actually. He can decide what information should be open because he registered those information. If you don't, he doesn't like to make public, you don't need to input those information. But actually, the reason we made this is today we are hiding information more and more. Like you said, the privacy is a very important problem right now. Even in Japan, but I don't like it. We need to be more open to public, and because we need to trust the other person. I think that's a good thing to make the start of communication. So that's why this is a kind of a protest to the current privacy consciousness.
It's a be more open protest.
Right, that's right. I hope so.
It may just be my imagination. Whatever it is that's watching, it's not human.
Det er lørdag morgen, og jeg står foran det, der hedder Stadtværkstad, som ligger lige i en gammel kro, lige ved siden af Ars Electronica Centeret herinde midt i Linz. Stadtværkstad har siden en nat kørt sådan noget, der hedder Disrupting the Information in 48 Hours, som er sådan et kombineret hacker-kunstprojekt, som måske også er lidt mere kritisk end det, der foregår over i Post City, hvor man er meget fremtidsbegejstret. Her har der i hvert fald en nat været DJ's, som kalder sig sådan noget NSA, eller en, der bare hed, for eksempel, der hed Dance Away the Surveillance, og der har været flere andre ting, som har fundet sted her i nat, og nu skal jeg kigge på, hvad der sker i dag. Udenfor hænger der nogle højtalere, som man kan høre måske. Som afspiller, hvad der umiddelbart lyder som noget tilfældigt, det plejer det ikke at være. Der er altid en eller anden mening med tingene her.
But the one we're doing is called CNSA, which is playing with the NSA title, but also it means critical network streaming action. So it's questioning poetically questioning the mass broadcasting information that's being sent over the web. So we have about 16 radio streams that are being mashed up together and rebroadcast in a spatialization, which also can be connected with the telephones to manipulate what's happening with the information. And some of those radios are like the Quran radio and American police radio, which they broadcast, bizarrely.
They do, yes.
Amongst various other sort of more popular talk shows and music radio stations. So, do you want to say anything, Roman, about the technology? We're using open source software to do everything. And Apo33 works mostly, well, entirely with open source software and arts and culture that uses the web and streaming particularly for our activities.
Yeah.
Jenny Pickett og Roman Papillon aflytter og videresender 8 forskellige radiokanaler, inklusive Radio Free Europe og Koranradioer, og nogle løse amatørradio bliver også blandet ind i det, og det hele bliver kørt sammen via et sindssygt sindrigt system af servere. Bagefter så mixer de indholdet ved hjælp af mobiltelefoner, som de deler ud til publikum. Når telefonen rystes, så ændres lydbilledet. Det lyder kakofonisk og vildt, og det hedder CNSA, Critical Network Streaming Action.
So you've been working during the setups?
Yes, we use a Linux operating system that we made from Xubuntu version that is called Apogeo, and you can find it on the internet. We use it in installation, concert, or a workshop for doing sound or numeric art. And so here we use it for streaming sound audio. So we use it as a tool to reception, as you said, to recept the radio and dispatch it with the program on Pure Data that will cut and mash the whole audio stream, and then we diffuse it on 4 speakers, could be more, could be 8 or a multiple of 4. Yeah,
it's a bit like William Burroughs cut-up technology,
yeah,
or something like that. Brian Gissing.
Yeah.
It's based on this cut-up idea, yeah.
It's kind of taking in the power, what they are saying, and kind of recording it and broadcasting it back at them.
In fact, it is more like, yes, the principle of the cut-up, and also to question about what's on the radio, I mean, in terms of continue, I mean, in terms of information and what it's on, and what could be controlled by who, who's controlling what, could we transfer the information that we listen, could we use it, how do we control it ourselves, and how it's so easy to control it also ourselves.
Yeah. CNSA's metode med at blande kanaler som Radio Free Europe og Al Jazeera og Koran Radio er inspireret af den amerikanske forfatter William S. Burroughs, der i sine bøger foreslog, at man optog magthavere, klippede deres taler i stykker og blandede det med citater fra dem, de talte imod, og med dyrelyde, med det formål at smadre budskabet. Men her er udgangspunktet ikke fiktion, det er virkeligt. Det handler om NSA's masseovervågning af borgerne.
So if someone was average, in terms of materials and technological stuff, more money to have materials to control the stuff, you see. Mm-hmm. So more power, it's very easy. So just one Win computer and internet connection, we can do very quickly audio stream control. So as a tools, you can have a very so easy control about radio, about whatever you want. Yeah.
Something in Danish.
Nu får vi så forklaring på, hvad det er for noget lyd her udenfor. Jeg står med en mobiltelefon i hånden, når jeg bevæger den sådan op og ned. Så styrer den, hvordan lydene skal komme frem og tilbage mellem de her forskellige radiostationer, som de her to unge mennesker har mixet sammen, eller har kørt som streaming hjemme. Nu prøver jeg at dreje den lidt, så lyder den sådan her. Og nu kører den lidt ned igen.
It's playing with this idea of this mass surveillance, taking everything, as opposed with without any kind of critical analysis or thinking. It's just a mass data collection. But we're doing this with the audio. It's on the web, so it's also questioning this idea of self-surveillance, mass surveillance culture, and playing with William Burroughs' cut-ups, of course, and also this Orwellian idea that we all become. We will become the Ministry of Truth.
That's sad, actually. It's very sad. Yeah. And we have all these. One of the interesting things about coming here is it's more, it's not low-tech, but it's more open. And over at post-city, you have all these Macs and all these tablets. And here you've got some machines kind of more, you seem to more like you're more in control of them. How do you feel about all these new concepts, like if I say smart city, do you think that, is that a good idea?
For me, I think it's quite a dangerous idea that we have, especially given the state of surveillance at the moment, if we start to monitor our fridges and cars and everything, every movement, everything becomes traceable and accountable. It's difficult to know where this ends, as where our liberties start to be eroded more and more by this kind of actions.
Mm. I think it's actually happening already. All this stuff. I saw Samsung has just they have just kind of released an app where you can gather all your things in your home in the same app, so you kind of have this remote control feeling.
Samsung hub or something. Yeah, and I was reading as well, the US, they're finally saying that the police have to get a court order to be able to survey the mobile phone movements in the vicinity, because at the moment they trick the mobile phones into thinking they're a tower,
yes,
a transmitter. And
IMSI,
so then,
IMSI catching.
That's right. I mean, this is all the stuff that's been brought into light by Edward Snowden as well, and Assange, when you start to see all the different political underground uses of the information, untransparent uses of the information on citizens. It can be, quite worrying. But also we're able to catch some of this stuff ourselves using open tools.
So. How have you kind of said Snowden stuff maybe before? How do you live your daily life in this kind of call it post Orwellian society? Do you take any special measures for yourself?
Well, we have our own server in Apo, so already we're autonomous from a lot of. Big companies being in control of our own data, but I mean, you can't really avoid as whenever you send an email to anyone on Gmail or Hotmail or wherever there's your data is going to be collected elsewhere. So, but.
De smarte byer bekymrer Jenny. For nylig havde hun besøg af en blikkenslager, der gerne ville montere et overvågningssystem, så han automatisk fik besked, hvis der var noget galt med hendes varmesystem. Det vil hun ikke være med til, for hvem kigger ellers med, når ting er forbundet til internettet? Vi lever i et post-orwelliansk samfund, bliver vi enige om. Et sted, hvor vi overvåger hinanden, men også et sted, hvor vi i stigende grad overvåger os selv. Resultatet er stilstand og mistænksomhed. Og måske er vi allerede endt som små robotter i et bur.
So, we're looking at some small machines actually doing what most of us are doing all day long. They are kind of interacting with the tablets and smartphones and stuff. You're studying with one of the machines in your hand. What is it?
This is a tangible interface. It's a bot with animal save with a 2 centimeters more or less. They are working through capacitive systems, and they interact with graphic interfaces in tablets and screen surface. When you put this little bot animal in the surface, they make clicks, scroll, and the human behaviors, but randomly and automatically. So somehow they are an annoying animals making the behavior of the human being. And in social networks, they make clicks, also comments, random comments, and posting in your name.
Kunstneren har taget et fuglebur, og i bunden af det har han lagt 2 tablets og 3 telefoner, oven på de i alt 5 skærme, der kravler en lille robot rundt. Robotten har en arm, et lille stykke metalbelagt plastik, der drejer rundt og glider hen over glasset på skærmene, og dermed klikker på tilfældige ting på internettet. Den har også software, der kan skrive tilfældige kommentarer, søge på Google Maps og afspille videoer inde i fugleburet. Det hele er automatisk. Robotten gør det igen og igen og igen. Ligesom os. Klikker løs, til batterierne løber ud.
So they're kind of blowing up social media in many ways.
Exactly. It's a bot against the user interface, standard website, and also the analytics, because they click everywhere, so it's not possible to make a tracking, real tracking of your movement like a user. This is the main issue against this project and this concept.
So it kind of gives the engineers at Facebook something to think about.
Exactly. They make collapse all the tracking and
I can see one of them is currently scrolling to it goes through a map, direction map.
Exactly. For this exhibition I use Google Maps. They are free traveling through the graphic user interface of Google Maps, like a derivative concept of situationism idea. It's just the poetic part of the exhibition concept.
We're standing in the post part of the exhibition here. One of the main thing about that is that how do you see social media currently? What do you like social media?
Yes, I like social media. Human being is a social being. We are social people, and well, it's social networks is a copy of the social life. So, with the same problems and with the same good parts, I see the bad and good part of everything. So. Somehow it's just a tool that we can use, and it's also a tool.
They're very nice. You should sell them on the internet. Especially this one is very, I like the construction of this one.
Yeah, it's cyberpunk aesthetic somehow, no?
Yeah.
With these chips and circuits and batteries and electronic components that you can see and you can touch.
And it's built on
play with it.
It's Arduino platform, or
yes, I'm using the board of Arduino on some of them, and also another microchip called ATtiny that is also programming with Arduino. So yes, I'm using open source technology to develop it. It's really playful and interactive bot.
The thing that it's turning, it's got a small motor in the back, and it's turning around two plastic sheets that are kind of moving the touchscreen around. What have you made these of the things that are they are moving with?
Yes, it's a conductive material. The touchscreen works with a capacitive net sensor, and how it is working is when you touch touchscreen, you share your electron with it. So it's basically a material allow to make this electron share. Is how they are working.
Here we have a...
You
talk about your bezoars,
yeah?
He's making
this bezoar.
Hi.
I'm Anas.
Oh, yeah.
It's just water.
Okay, could you describe what are you working with here?
I'm trying to make a urinal in three parts. This is the processor that performs a basic logic gate that's fundamental to computation, and it's a urinal, so it's activated by we and with two people. So there'll be two feeder urinals going to this processing unit, and it will either perform an XOR, exclusive OR gate, or an AND gate, depending on how the streams of we meet or if they meet. So it's just a basic two-state machine. But it's fundamental to all computers.
Helt nede dybt i kælderen, der render Martin House og Jonathan Kemp rundt. Martin House, han har taget formen til et pissoir med til lins, og så har han støbt fire af dem. Samlet set, der hedder deres installation Piss on Logic, Piss på logikken. For når man tisser ned i det her urinal, ja, så kan tisset løbe enten til højre eller til venstre, og så rammer det en kontakt, og hermed så indgår det i matematikeren Alan Turings idéer om regnemaskiner, logic gates, XOR-AND, som det hedder. De udgør dermed en binær maskine døbet i tis.
Like a transistor, actually.
No, it's called a half adder. And a full adder would be a series of these. So I'm making four, but they're not going to be connected like full adders. But a full adder is the basic binary form for computing. But so all the theory is on computation, Turing complete machines, based on abstracts away from material substrates. But you could operate a computer on anything that allowed these state changes. So I'm just doing it with P. With my colleague Martin House, who's unfortunately been ill, so he's not here.
Oh,
yeah.
What's the deeper meaning? It's called pissing on logic.
Yeah, piss on logic. So it's two things about how computation needs the Earth to function, because people make computers out of the Earth and then return them to the Earth. But it's also about the logic of computation running global societies, and this is a kind of anti-commentary on that. So piss bracket on logic, so it's piss on that computational logic, but it's also pissing and making a computational logic, and it's also pissing through the computation to the Earth, making the Earth computational as well in some sense. So it's like a poetic on those cycles of extraction, use and return to the Earth of the materials of computation.
Der er ingen dybere mening med det. Der er ikke rigtig noget sjovt lys, der tænder, og det gør ikke nogen gavn, andet end som det også er, et pissoir. Men hvordan har Martin House det med resten af den her logiske, moderne, smarte verden, der omgiver ham?
You don't like big data?
No, because it's layer upon layer of abstraction, and I think there's always a problem with abstraction. Anyway, you can't not abstract. That's our species condition, is to abstract, to make meaning of. But there's a problem with the kind of propositional logic of something X is Y, and I think big data does a lot of X is Y or means Y, and I'm always suspicious of that.
Remember, all cryptographic work is done in this room, and no cryptographic materials are removed from it. Of course, we're well established here, but an officer in the field must take all the precautions possible with the facilities available. We must assume that every message we send out by radio, teletype, carrier pigeon, or personal messenger may be intercepted by a potential enemy.
Aflyttet er forbi for i dag. Producer var Nanette Birk, og jeg hedder Anders Kjær Ulf. Jeg vender tilbage i næste uge med mere fra Ars Electronica og med et kritisk blik på danskernes lave tillid til det offentliges evne til at passe på vores data i det her overvågningssamfund, som vi alle sammen bor i. Her hvor vi klikker os rundt, skøjter afsted på skærme, mens pixels eksploderer under os og langsomt sætter havet fri, blot, og vi drømmer om sandheden i en sjæl og et legeme. Det bliver ikke lige nu, men måske om lidt.